Sonia Weaver of Context, Caroline Casey, for 23 plus years, started the same year as Democracy Now!, although she does it every day. So that was a very worthy previous show, thanks to this station on detoxing from plastic. So we are in the final days of Fund Drive for the Visionary Activist Show for this season, right? And so more than perfectly, you know, what sustains us? How do we bring alive everything in human culture that has ever brought out the best in humans of cooperating with nature's guiding genius? So I've always loved the genius of Rasta Jamaica. And we're coming to you today live from Jamaica and welcoming Jamaican Rasta writing film and film producing, film festival producing, author of 5 books, Barbara Makeda Blake Hanna. She was the first Black woman journalist on BBC. She was nonetheless enticed back home to Jamaica in 1972 when Chris Blackwell and Perry Henzel offered her a job as public relations officer for the first Jamaican feature film, The Harder They Come, starring Jimmy Cliff. Her book, Rastafari, The New Creation, is in its 7th edition. She was the first Rastafarian to sit in the Jamaican Parliament. So right now, the Moon and Venus are conjoined in Aries. We welcome the Woofy woman in all of us. They are exactly, right now, this hour, conjoined Pacifica's Sun, Venus, and North Node. Right now, this is a magnetizing time. And the image for that, always for Pacifica, and now for all of us, is a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. So it is with our beloved Pacifica, and so it is with Barbara. Welcome, Barbara Makeda Blake Hanna. Are you there?
Okay.
Hello, Barbara.
Okay.
Ah, there you are. Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hello, Barbara Makeda Blake Hanna.
Okay.
Can you hear me? We're transcending Wi-Fi and everything. But yes, so you're there, right? You're Barbara? I don't know. I think you're connected. Can you say woof woof? Can you say if you hear me? So Barbara did want me to say that you can find all her 5 books, Barbara Makeda Blake Hanna, on Amazon. There's the link. But we're seeing if we can hear each other. Well, we haven't tested this. We tested both lines and all of that.
Okay.
So while our team is hello, yes? Oh, trickster gods of Jamaica and Mercury and radio.
Okay.
Let us be able.
Okay.
Yes, I hear you saying okay. Well, let's just start off. I gleaned, you know, everything online about you, but I also, all stories lead us to all stories, and I loved your review of Unearthing the Diamond. You know, you said we never really know someone until they tell you their story, and you spoke about a friend of yours, right, who had a challenging life and who built Paradise Jamaica. So are you hearing me now?
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening. I was asking you about the beauty that comes from under pressure,
okay.
Right? And your friend who created the beautiful garden in Jamaica. And she said that she'd been compressed,
okay.
You know, and polished and honed, you know, from rocks. Right, so wherever you want to dive in, we can honor your many works, you know. But if you want to speak about, you know, that powerful spirit of beauty that emerges from under pressure, right? Something you know a great deal about. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure why we're not hearing each other back and forth. I'll continue. You jump in whenever you can be heard, and I'll carry on.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Are you hearing me, Barbara? Your beautiful voice. Hello.
Okay.
I heard you say okay and good evening. Can you say anything you'd like to about your book, Rastafari. Okay, Rastafari, the New Creation. Okay. Well, this is a mystery. This is a mystery. I will carry on. We are extremely live radio. We're coming to you from Jamaica, and we are aspiring to conversationally connect with our more than splendid guest, Barbara Makeda Blake-Hanna. As I was cruising and going, we want a voice from Jamaica. We want a voice from Jamaica. And up you came, and I looked all over for ways to find you, right? And then found a little Facebook page for your company with, I think, one follower. And I said, I'm tossing this invitation to the wind. Hello, hello. And you wrote back going, yes, I will do it. So you are, I'm seeing that you are connected. Again, this is a very democratic show. Wherever you want to go is completely wonderful. So part of my, but you are there, right? Hello, hello. You're connected. We're on the air, Barbara. Uh-huh. Well, I'll carry on. Oh, we're calling her back. Okay, we're calling her back. What a good idea. Meanwhile, we are in Fund Drive, so this is a good opportunity for that. So we are offering a wonderful book from last week, The Harder They Come by Michael Fellwell. And from the back cover, it says, like the acclaimed film of the same title, this lyrical, lilting, densely textured novel is based on the exploits of the legendary Jamaican folk hero and reggae star Rijin with passion and precision. Michael Fellwell recounts Rijin's journey from a morally coherent rural universe to the teeming predatory slums of Kingston, his rebellion against the poverty and corruption of post-colonial Jamaica, his blazing simultaneous rise to the top of the charts and the most wanted list. It's been called by Chinua Achebe, a magnificent achievement, moving, eloquent, defiant. It's a major milestone in the cultural history of black people. Mr. Fellwell has put us all in his debt, says again the great Nigerian writer Chinua Achebe. And then I ran across a review on Amazon that I thought, wow, what a great review. And then I realized I wrote it. Okay. So, I'm not sure. Okay. All right, Barbara, you're there. Hello.
Yes, I am.
Hello.
Good evening. Yes, I am. Hello.
That's a good evening. Wonderful.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not sure why you're not hearing me.
I'm hearing you. Are you hearing me? But we were cut off a little while ago.
That's right. Nothing can stop us now. Okay. I was just introducing our we are in Fund Drive, but we will go right to us. But so we are offering Michael Fellwell's book, The Harder They Come, for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or donating securely online to kpfa.org. So do you know this wonderful book by Michael Fellwell? Hello? I'm not sure. Mercury Gods?
Yes, I am. Hi, good
hello?
Evening.
Hello? Good evening?
Yes, I am. Hi. Hello?
Okay, all right, but do you... Hello? Do you know Michael Fellwell's book?
I'm hearing you. Are you hearing me?
I don't know.
We were cut off a little while ago.
Yes, I am hearing you. All right. This is good. All right. Okay, we lost each other, but now we found each other, and we're just meeting.
With pleasure.
And where are you in Jamaica?
Looking forward to talking with you.
Good. Well, we're doing it now. That's good. We're right on the air. So do you know Michael Fellwell? Do you know his book? Hello? Are you hearing questions? Are you hearing me, woof, woof, want to play in front of you? Are you hearing any of these things? Yes, my dear, even though we haven't met and we're just meeting now, I'm a wild enthusiast for your dedicated work.
Yes, I am. Hi, so good evening.
We're off.
Hello.
Okay, all right, my dear. We're, hello. We're, this is like a skit. We're on the air.
I'm hearing
live.
You. Are
we're
you
talking
hearing
to
me?
Our great...
But we were cut off a little while ago.
Yes, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. And I'm just putting things in front of you. Woof, woof, want to play. So, when you wrote the wonderful review of Unearthing the Diamond and said you never really know someone till they tell you their story, and you go into her story, arduous, you know, but you are both Rasta mothers, right? And did you adopt the name Hannah from reading Samuel in the Bible to invoke your son? Hello, we're talking, we're conversing. Maybe there's a long delay. These are interesting mysteries. All right, well, okay, I'm gonna go back to pitching for a moment, and then we will see what our intriguing kerfuffles are. So I was just introducing, oh, her call dropped again. I see, okay, all right. Well, all right, we are live, visionary activist show, reporting from the field. We're trying to get her on. Okay, all right, we'll see what it is. But meanwhile, all right, here we are, team, right? All the more reason to pledge. That was a good idea. Because we're offering The Harder They Come by Michael Fellwell, and we think our guest knows who he is, but we couldn't quite get that. Let's imagine flow. But I wrote this review. I didn't know I wrote it, but I thought, what a good review. Oppression is only for a season. And I said, I finished reading this book last night, and I can't bear to loan it to anyone. The book itself is alive with, ooh, such rich language, such a dedicated, finely crafted narrative down to the last line. I want to reread and quote passages. The humming, vital, poetic, deep, ironic language of Jamaican is such a vital tonic to the world's brew of what we must know. Yeah, because when you read this book, part of its genius is that the dialogue is written in Jamaican Patois, so you can hear it humming in your mind, and it's such a good thing. Remember, the more language, the more words, the more stories, the more metaphors, the more fairy tales, the more we know, the more avenues of cooperation open up for us to be effective in the world at this time of dire beauty. Whoa. And so what I said is, I found this book dusty in an eccentric venue. Again, things find us while having a conversation about Perry Hensel, whom our guest knows. If she should ever come back, we go, who made the movie. So Synchronous Grace. And I just read Perry Hensel's Power Game, which is pretty cool. But this book, The Harder They Come, is a masterpiece. And it would be wildly, amusingly great if it were required reading for anyone traveling to Jamaica, just so you know what's up, to look and feel deeply into things and to have manners. So may the reader, like Sydney in the book, praises to Yah, Pedro exulted silently. Sydney find him art. Sydney find him heart. So there we are. And we go, we love that. And I love also just the other review of this book is a treasure that I happened to come across in a discount bin, another person. But like so many of the books that are greatly reduced in price, this one is truly priceless. I've always been interested in Jamaican culture and society and just finished reading Timothy White's Catch a Fire, The Life of Bob Marley, which was the perfect way to get in the mindset for Michael Fellwell's masterpiece, The Harder They Come. And so we go, this book is not simply a tale of the legendary Rijin, who was a hero of the common Jamaican sufferer, but also a glimpse into the life of Jamaicans followed. We have Barbara again. I will interrupt. Hello, Barbara.
Yes.
Hello. Oh, that's good. Okay, let's see what we can get going. So... We are. That's a wonderful thing. So where are you in Jamaica?
I'm in Kingston. I'm in New Kingston.
Where are you?
And it's 5 in the afternoon. Everyone's going home at this hour.
Yes. I'm just down the road from you in Ocho Rios, briefly. But and then we're connecting to our team. Our team in Fresno, and we are in Fundrive. I will make discreet announcements every now and then, but really to honor yourself. I do love many things, but I and I'm sorry you missed my fantastic introduction of you. But let me just do the last little bit. Because right now in the sky, it's why even with kerfuffles, this is a perfect convening, the moon and Venus, and everybody, watch the moon and Venus after sunset. It is such a glorious thing tonight. So the moon and Venus, you know, welcomes the woofy women in all of us, right? And it's conjoined our radio network's sun, where it was when this station was born. And its image is a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. And that's you, too.
Wow. I hope that's true. That really sounds good, that moon and Venus bursting with gifts. I like that.
Right. Well, you've done so much. You were the first black woman journalist on the BBC. You were enticed back home to Jamaica when Chris Blackwell and Perry Henzel offered you a job, you know, on the Here They Come, you know, and also you were the first Rastafarian woman to serve, to sit in the Jamaican Parliament, yeah?
Yes, I'm all of that. Indeed.
That's wonderful. And my board team says, there is a delay, which is part of why it's challenging. So I will speak and then wait for you and aspire to not speak over you. I was also reading, you know, your book, Rastafari, The New Creation, is in its seventh edition. And as people write on Amazon, it's All You Want to Know, written in simple explanations. So Rastafari, part of our connectingness is, I just feel that what you have to offer and Jamaica has to offer is very needed in the world now, about insight, irony, you know. Do you want to bring anything forth, you know?
Yes, you know, Rastafari was born in Jamaica out of the depths of degradation of the descendants of slavery. And it's amazing that out of all that pain and cruelty was born a philosophy of peace and love, a philosophy that's so beautiful that it's been embraced by the entire world. Our psalmist Bob Marley took the message to the world in music, and it's the message, it's the basic message of goodness, of godliness, of all people living together in harmony, in love. And that's what Rastafari is. Rastafari is.
Right. Yeah, and I know you prayed for a son when you were 44, and a Rasta ally told you to read Samuel in the Bible, right?
Yes. First I prayed the prayer of the Virgin Mary, which was one of the prayers that was stolen from Ethiopia when they sacked the Magdala Palace 100 years ago. And it was stolen out of the British Museum and given back to the Rastafari people by a very brave Rasta man. I prayed the prayer, and even though I was 44 years old, I received the answer to my prayer. And when the Archbishop came to the intensive care ward to see my baby, he was premature, he told me to read 1 Samuel. And that was the chapter where Hannah is praying for a child, and the priest thought she was drunk and, you know, babbling. And she said, "No, I've been barren for so long. My husband wants to divorce me. I'm praying for a child." And the priest said, "Don't worry, you will have a son, but you must raise him in a godly way." And that was me, Barbara Blake Hannah. I was blessed. My womb was blessed with a son, and he's still around, taking really good care of me, I'm glad to say. Praise God. Yeah.
Praise Jah. He's a very handsome fellow, and he's got his beautiful dreads because you decided to raise him completely Rasta, right?
Yes. Because I wanted him to know the faith and to live the faith. Rasta is a very difficult life to live. It's not easy to hold on to a faith that other people think is ridiculous or blasphemous, or they think all we do is smoke ganja. But Rasta is much more than that, and it's hard to live it and show that it is much more than that, that it's a hopeful way of life that the whole world could follow. And it amazes us to see so many people of so many religions and countries and ethnicities who all follow Rastafari. Ooh, I mean, it's really gone around the world, we're glad to say. The message has reached the ears of the world. And so it should. So it should. Yes. Yes.
Yes. And I was gleaning everything I could find about you and from your Facebook page, where you also posted a good article on the Ethiopian is the country is the only nation not colonized, right? I think that's... So they were invaded by Italy, but not colonized. And is that part of the spirit, the anti-colonial feist? Yeah?
Yes, exactly. Ethiopia is our light. When we look at Ethiopia, we see so much to admire. Not only the thousands of years of Christian tradition and the history of a people, but the fact that it was never colonized. I mean, we are the children of colonialism, of British colonialism, and most black people in the West and in Africa have been colonized. We've lived under the rule of other people, and we've been forced to adopt their culture, even their language. But Ethiopia has remained intact, unvarnished, untouched, filled with its ancient history and traditions, its language, its religion. And we have to admire that. And out of Ethiopia came a king whose life was so perfect that we admire it. We look up to him. We look at the things he has said, and they guide us and teach us. And he is an example of divinity that we can try to be like. So Ethiopia is really the most important country on earth for us, Rastafari. And we see a light. Marcus Garvey told us to look to Africa, where a king would be born that would be an example and a guiding light for us Africans in the West. And lo and behold, Emperor Haile Selassie was crowned in Ethiopia. The Prince Rastafari was crowned Emperor Haile Selassie, and his name means the power of the Trinity. That Trinity is the Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are things to look up to. We've been taught this from birth in our Christian churches. And here is someone who embodies the things we have been taught. So we have enough respect, enough admiration, and enough love for Ethiopia and for our Emperor, Haile Selassie, the first.
So, and part of my love of inviting you and Jamaica, you know, is that it is such a time right now for us to dive for roots, you know, to dive backwards in time. It's like, you know, what it says on the plane, our nearest exit may be behind us, to go back in deep into that which replenishes us. So, yeah, we know Bob Marley. And what is brewing now that gives you heart? I know you... founder of the Reggae Film Festival in Jamaica, are there qualities of Rasta wisdom arising in through music and culture in Jamaica now?
Yes, because in fact we're celebrating Reggae Month right at the moment, where we celebrate reggae in all ways. I celebrate reggae in film, but reggae music, there hasn't been a day this month that there hasn't been some major reggae concert, reggae activity, and reggae celebration. And this whole month has really been lovely. It's been rich with reggae. It's our culture, and it's our cultural expression. UNESCO just recognized reggae as a world cultural heritage, and that's what it is. And we have that. You know, we created a music. That's just amazing. You know, these people, descendants of slaves on a little pinprick of an island in the middle of the Caribbean, created a music. They hold something like more than 200 reggae festivals around the world. It's amazing. We stand open mouth to think of it, that Jamaica could do something so great. We have an icon in Bob Marley, you know, a world hero. Everybody has a Bob Marley T-shirt or a Bob Marley poster or a Bob Marley record somewhere in their life. Everybody, big and small, you know, it amazes us. It makes us very proud to be Jamaican. It makes us feel that, you know, even though we've come out of such a bitter heritage, a bitter history, we stand tall now. We have great pride in what we created out of the pain and suffering that put us here on this island of Jamaica. We're very proud. So we celebrate reggae every February. In Black History Month, we all Black History is our reggae. And we love that. We love that. I know you love it too. There must be a lot of reggae pumping in Ocherias while you're there, right?
in the background right now, in fact, yeah, absolutely. It's all around us. And it is such a blessing to the world. What I like to say is part of the genius of reggae, and this comes from, you know, just the beauty of beauty emerging from hardship in Jamaica, is, you know, the darker the lyrics, the jauntier the tune, right? And it's that's part of Bob Marley's genius, and I think that's part of. Let me toss it back to you, because it's part of. It's like a friend says, be jaunty even though fully informed, right? So we're addressing many terrible things in the world, but that quality of the jaunty tune, right? Does that keep you going as well? That's part of your nature?
Yes. Yes, you're so right. And we mustn't only give credit to Bob, because there are so many artists who have followed, who have done what he has done. We heard of Bob, yes, but this is what's great about Reggae Month. We just have a great movie. We're having reggae films in the park every Friday night. And last week Friday, we showed a film called Inner the Park, so Inner the Yard. And it features some of the old guys whose names you hardly hear of nowadays. Cedric Mikan and Winston McAnuff and Peter Tye and Ken Booth and Judy Mort. These are the people who were in the film, telling us of their lives and singing their music. And some of them, even I didn't know. I mean, I'd never heard Cedric Mikan sing Row, Fisherman, Row. When he came on stage and sang it, the whole place erupted. It was just so amazing. We have such a long history of great reggae music, of great musicians carrying that music forward. Bob opened the door Island Records, and his whole philosophy and the way he lived and his songs opened the door wide. But a lot of others were there as well, and we have to give them credit too, because it's not just Bob's music you're hearing right now playing. You're hearing the music from so many artists, you can't even begin to call their names. True? Yeah, I'm sure. I know it. You know? So you're right, you know? It's part of that old history, and we really can be proud of that. We really can be proud. You've chosen a good time to be in Jamaica, to be here in February. It's the richest time of the year, you know? It's the best time of the year, really. Yeah.
I travel with Bob Marley's astrological chart, because I admire him so much, and one of the beautiful things is that people's astrological charts continue to respond to timing even when they're an ancestor, right? So just for the fun of it, right now, Pluto, principle of death and intensity, and all of us remembering our mission, is at 24 degrees of Capricorn for the first time in 248 years. And when Bob Marley was born, his Mars, his dedication, his energy, his rhythm, is it 24 Capricorn. So right now it's a description that he and what he gave birth to and inspired, which you're helping us to become intimate with, you know, is so important now, as we're all even more in this in this cauldron of death and rebirth to keep as much alive as possible. But I have a wonderful Jamaican friend I'm going to go visit in Mandeville. And I love that years ago she taught me the Jamaican word, samphai man. It means a con man, right? Is that right?
Yes.
I love that word. Well, I love it because it's playful, right? To say samphai man immediately sucks away the power from the con because it's a fun word. And I've seen my friend Claudette do this too, which is, you take your samphai man nonsense away from me. And it makes it fun. It moves it around, right? So I think of, and then I was talking with her and I want to toss it to you about, you know, being played, right? And all of America has been, well, and much of the world being played by the con as opposed to the liberating authentic trickster that you are and Bob Marley is, and, you know, And I was talking to my Jamaican friend about, you know, in Jamaica, there's a theme about being played and how not to get played, right? She goes, oh, yeah, everything, right? And that is some of it. Does it resonate with you that part of Jamaican genius and part of Bob Marley's genius and the reggae that you love, it has deep irony, it has deep insight, you know, into what's really going on, right? And then with a wink, and then, but we're going to prevail. Does that resonate with yourself?
Yes, you know, you make me laugh. Yes, indeed. Yes, there's a lot of samphai going on. It's true, you know, in the world. It's really true. I like that word. Yeah, but, you know, it's like it's samphai. It's the fake news. It's the fake news thing. And we have to be very careful we don't get samphied, you know, we don't fall victim to the samphai man who is trying to tell us that, you know, wrong is right and right is just definitely wrong. No, don't let them samphy you at all. You know, hold on to the reality. You're so right. And look, when you look at life astrologically as you do, you really can see a deeper reality. You can pinpoint, you can focus on what is really real. So I like how you think. I like the things you think, yeah. They're teaching you good things. I love it. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And we're going to think of this as part one, because when we have an even better connection at some point, I want to get your playlist and many, many other fun things. But yeah, no, and samphai man, and you've already expanded it that we can use it as a verb, as a noun, as an everything. It's so crucial. Yeah, because the fake news, the con, that which is imprisoning, and when we couldn't quite hear each other at the beginning, let me go back to that. So I read everything of yours I could find, and that's just the beginning. But I read a review that you wrote of Unearthing the Diamond, in which you start about never really knowing someone till they tell you their story. You know, and it's there's a black Christian spiritual saying in America that there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. But there we go. But I want to toss it back to your friend, because you narrate her challenging life, and then she built Paradise Jamaica. She built this wonderful garden, and she said, you know, from this compression and from this hardship and from not having parents and from being abused and many things, that she was compressed and chiseled, you know, from rocks into paradise. So I wanted to just toss to you that theme, which is a theme we love on this show, of, you know, freedom and beauty coming out of really hard places.
Yes, indeed. A flower blooming in a pink sky. Yes, indeed. You're so right. You know, flowers bloom in the most surprising places. Look at the flower that blooms on a cactus plant. You know, you can't embrace the cactus plant, but the flower gives you its beauty. And that's what it is. I think that's a good analogy for Jamaica, really, because Jamaica is a bit like a cactus plant. When you think about it, there's a lot of poverty, a lot of suffering. But there is that beautiful bloom, that beautiful flower that attracts everyone, that people admire. And that's the essence, you know? That really captures the essence of what Jamaica is. That's what draws people here. You know, America just put out a travel advisory telling its citizens, be careful when you go to Jamaica, and these are the places you must not visit, and it will be dangerous. Don't go to Trenchtown. And the people at Trenchtown are just saying, don't be crazy. Tourists come here every day. No tourists have ever been harmed here. We love the tourists. We make sure nothing happens to them. You know, don't listen to these travel advisories. We are that flower that's blooming on the cactus plant, and it's the only thing that makes that cactus plant beautiful in the aridness of the desert. You know, the desolation of the desert. There is that bright bloom on the plant. That's us. That's Jamaica. And Jah really Mekia for true, you know? Jah Mekia for true, for real. We are given the right name. This is the throne of Jah. Jamaica is the seat of Jah. Yes, yes. That bloom, that flower in the desert. Yes.
That's beautiful. And right as you're speaking, I'm out on the balcony over the Caribbean, and a great waft of ganja smoke just came up from below, going, there we go. And that reminded me of, you know, the things I've been hoovering off of your Facebook page, also like the article that said Jamaican cannabis, Jamaican ganja is much safer than American and U.S., and it delineated the pesticides and all, but also what was the particular strand? Wait, I read it. I can't quite remember the wonderful uplifting strand of ganja that Marley liked so much and that disappeared but then came back. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I'm gonna remember the name. We had sensimilla. We had sensimilla. That's the one you probably are thinking of. And there was another one as well. Oh, gosh, you see, I'm just getting the names because they've almost died out. America sent down planes to fly down and spray the ganja seeds and eliminate them when they had their so-called war on drugs. And it wiped out some of our really beautiful indigenous ganja strains. And sensimilla was one of them. With no seeds, and it was the most beautiful ganja to smoke. You can hardly get it now. But the ganja industry is thriving. A lot of new strains are being developed by entrepreneurs, ganja entrepreneurs, ganja farmers. And the whole ganja industry is blossoming, the official industry and the creative industry. And that's probably that nice whiff that you just got coming from downstairs. You know, I hope you get some good ganja. And remember to use the oil, ganja oil. The CBD oils and the THC oils are very, very good. It's really preferential. I personally don't smoke again. I use the oil. I get the same effect, and I get the full medicinal benefit of the oil. So just remember there's oil as well that you can use. But I know people love to sit and have a nice smoke, you know, sit down on a nice veranda, the sun is setting, and, you know, have a smoke. So enjoy it either way, because it's a spiritual as well as a physical medicine, and very valuable for humanity, very valuable. Yes, indeed.
Exactly, and so this is good. Our sound connection has been a little mysterious and choppy, but I like thinking of this as part one, Barbara Makeda Blake Hanna, that we can carry on in some form. I'm going to reluctantly release you to do dedicated pledging for our beloved station so we can host you some more and keep going. But maybe one little shout out, because I was reading all about your novels, The Moon Has Its Secrets, and somebody wrote a wonderful review of it. who said not much is historically known about Jamaica's only female hero, Nanny of the Maroons, right? Grandy Nanny by the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
But you bring her to life. Do you want to do just a little as we're departing, a little shout out to Nanny of the Maroons? Woofy women, that's our theme.
Yes, yes indeed, because she's our only female hero, national hero. And she was a woman, she was the Maroon woman, she was the warrior woman. When Carter signed the peace treaty with the British, she refused to sign. She said, no, let's keep fighting, then we'll have the whole island, not just the 500 acres they want to give you. And she didn't sign the treaty. She continued fighting till now. She is a national hero, not Carter. And I was inspired to write a book of what her life could be, because we don't know anything about her except that little bit I just said. And I thought, no, she had a life. She was born in Africa, and she did so great that she was a national heroine. So she inspired me, and I didn't even write the book. She held my hand and wrote her story. And not only wrote her story, she wrote the story of her descendants, coming right up to the time of, to the years of my years, to the Bob Marley years. That's what the book is about. She wrote her story down. And allowed me to put my name on it. And that's The Moon Has Its Secret. Yeah, that's the book. A lot of women should read it, and men too, because it's the story of a woman, and a brave woman, a fierce woman, a fighting woman. That's what we are. That's what I am. I am part of that heritage of that woman. I'm one of those women. I am Nanny of the Maroons. I am Nanny, yes. Yes. God be blessed. God bless us all. It's been so wonderful speaking with you. It's been so wonderful. You've allowed me to say so much. Thank you very, very much. Yes, let this be part one, but let us have part two and part three and many more. It's been wonderful speaking with you. Thank you. Thank you, and blessings and Jah.
Thank you.
And blessings and Jah.
Blessings and Jah. Okay, team, so that is our wonderful guest, Barbara Makeda. And we had, as you could tell, we had to pause. It's a rare thing to have silence on radio. But because she's in Kingston, Jamaica, and I'm just down the road in Ocho Rios for a short time, and we're connecting to Berkeley and on out into the world, so we love that. So, yes, I am going to be dedicated pitching in a moment, but I can't resist this 6-minute clip right now to play, and I will speak faster and do more pitching on the other side of it. But we all knew that this was coming, you know, and now so fast. And this is part of why we want to contribute to our beloved station right now by calling 1-800-439-5732, or that's 1-800-439-5732. Or pledging online at kpfa.org. We're offering the really great book, The Harder They Come, by Michael Thelwell. It just takes you into Jamaica patois. You can hear it humming in your mind. And that's for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month. But first, here we go. Again, we're going to play this very short clip. It's from 2016. It's Fusion's parody, Trump versus Bernie debate. Here we go.
I'm going to have a cabinet that's going to make Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz look like Marlo Thomas and friends from Free to Be You and Me. I am going to have some. We got to use these nukes. I promise you, we're going to use these nukes. We need to use these nukes. And we're going to nuke everybody. I promise a nuke on every continent. I guarantee you that. You should be in shuddering silence. You should be. Because I am real. I am a real force, a real person, and I am frightening. You know what will happen in the first 100 days? I'll tell you what will happen in the first. I promise you what will happen in the first 100 days. The first 10 days, I'll be so bored, I won't care, and I'll start letting unelected people who you never, ever had a choice about make major decisions for this country. So it's going to be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And you're at fault. You're at fault. Even you, this probably mostly liberal audience, that you're at fault because you sit in your armchair or in your car or in your studio and you think you're safe because of your whiteness. You think you're safe because how could it happen to you? But it can't happen to you, right? It can't happen to you until you're put in a labor camp, you freak. So you better realize you better realize that this storm is coming. I wrote a poem. You want to hear it? It's a fun little poem. Open up all your holes when you listen to this. Here I stand, huffing and puffing like a horny beast, wet at the mouth. Lo, I am a flexing pig. My speech is scant, senseless, the rhythm of an idiot. I piss vinegar on the black and the brown. Orange, I am rusted, rippled, white-lipped, tossing my jaw back and forth, belching bloody bile. I'm a fat little redhead. Ever lonely, never loved, pure ego. Let the nukes fly, bursting, prostate choke pearls of spilling from my gnarled acorn. I am the trumpet in the sky. I am the bringer of death. I am the fire dog, according to China. I've muttered these sick and sad psalms of vigorous stupidity for months. You depart from Plato's cave. Stop screaming silent at the shadows on the wall. Agitate me. Disrupt me. Save me from myself. Let me be an absurd, oily sideshow, the inverted clown who snidely molests people with my smarm. Tell me you're fired. Return me to New York. To eat amuse-bouches at Per Se. And I will sit alone in my tower, gold and chrome, wondering about the time I almost destroyed the world. We're gonna make America great again.
Thank you. I treasure this experience. My brothers and sisters, in the unlikely event that I am elected president and there's not an immediate attempt at a military coup d'etat originating from Northern Virginia, I will begin a radical transformation, a revolution unprecedented in this country since that of the New Deal, President Roosevelt. Day one, the drum circle begins. Within the first week in office, we will have coated the White House from dome to step in patchouli oil, and we will be selling buttons and bumper stickers and mandalas on the White House lawn like we're in Santa Monica or something. I believe that the crisis we face today in this country is not unlike the crisis faced by the characters in the classic children's film, The Neverending Story. The large institutions we once looked to help us, like the Big Rock guy, they can't do anything. They're like, oh, my hands, I could try to stop the nothing, I couldn't do it. The nothing himself sends an avatar, an evil wolf, and it's this guy over here. The middle class is the horse. The middle class is the horse. It's stuck in the mud. It's dead. It's not coming back. And when you cry about it, the large turtle, which represents the mainstream media, says there's nothing you can do about it. You're just millennials. You have to go home and cry. You are just young children. And at that moment, when the middle class is dead, when the nothing is encroaching from all sides, when despair seems to be all that you can believe in, and you wonder why this was ever a children's film for anyone. When you think things cannot possibly get worse, that's when I show up. I am Falcor, the Luck Dragon. I appear in the distance, getting very little media coverage at first. Full of fur that looks ridiculous and far too white for what the situation calls for. And I am flying It looks like I should not be able to fly, but here I am, flying! And I will give you anything you want! You are a traitor! And I promise that I will chase the bankers down like the bullies were chased down at the end of that film until they jump into a dumpster. And also, finally, I promise to raise capital gains taxes by 500%. Thank you very much.
Yo, team, I had to play that, and now we will do even more dedicated pitching because that is so great. Let this serve as incentive to pledge. That was a 2016 very prescient, very deft, very powerful comedy, Can Tell the Truth, like the Trump poem. Oh, my God, this storm is coming. He told us in 2016 through these fantastic satirists, really great and a really great Bernie. So here we are. We have some thank yous. So we have Anonymous in San Mateo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have Kelly in San Anselmo, Modiana in Capitola, Eloise in San Francisco, and a $300 match from Patrick in Tiburon. There we go. All of which you can call 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. Or online at kpfa.org. Right. So the beginning of our hour, we had the wonderful Barbara Maqueda, Hannah, and our connection was a little challenging. There was you had to wait for it before we could hear each other. One, two, three. But it's also, many ways I could go, but let me stay focused on our dedication here. But that was a worthy voice, a wonderful worthy voice, and I look forward to conversing with her when the phone lines are clearer, and we will do that. But we want to embrace everything. We are Sufi, Aikido, Jamaican, everything we've ever studied brought into woofiness. And we are offering, as a thank you, as an enticement, this fabulous book, The Harder They Come by Michael Fellwell. Again, like the acclaimed film of the same title, this lyrical, lilting, densely textured novel is based on the exploits of the legendary Jamaican folk hero and reggae star, Rygin. It hums Jamaican irony and wisdom and beauty out of hardship in one's heart as you read it and through the language. And you could hear from, when we could hear Barbara Maqueda's lovely Jamaican lilt. So, oppression is only for a season, right? And we go, that's great. We have a little more thanks as well. Jen in Burlingame, thank you, thank you, thank you. Barbara in Redwood City, thank you, thank you, thank you. These are donations coming in, sort of random magical amounts of money. Fabulous. And we are enticing that because we're pledging to, we want to keep this network, this station, this show alive because we're heading into more storm. As 2016 Trump impersonator said, this storm is coming. Well, more and more. And remember that in Barbara Tuchman's fantastic book on the plague in 14th century, the plague which wiped out a third to two-thirds of the population from India to Europe, huge. But she said at the time, they said none of the village idiots got infected, right? And we go, all right, we should be safe. And I think it's because there's a saying, contagion spreads on the wings of fear, right? And so we are here dedicated for 23-plus years. Some of you joining along quite recently, some long time have been listening for 23 years, right, to being agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. And may we be like the village idiots, immune to the staying steady. And so, we're offering the show, and I am very grateful for the people who sent money for fun, for dedication, to keep our jaunty spirits up, because we do want to add trickster. Everything can be imprisoning or liberating. Everything. Astrology, KPFAM, and everything. So we cleanse it of the imprisoning, and that's part of our ally etiquette. So crucial to now, that we not feed the dementors. The dementors of doom, feed on strife and polarity. And we are here dedicated to being agents of spiraling out of polarity, liberating the entire circumstance. And we all have, invisible thank yous as well, metaphoric thank yous to be implemented. Everybody. I was going to say everybody pledges, but no, everybody has a magic bag of liberating lightning to hurl at anything, to set it free, to set that closed-in cage of a circle free into a liberating spiral. And that's what radio really does, and that's what the Visionary Activist Show aspires to do as well, to spiral these liberating things out into the world. There is no air in our chart right now. So that's why we want to add the trickster levity. It's plenty serious. We have that part, you know, but it is such an opportune time, and radio is such a fantastic, intrinsically democratic media. We meet in the invisible realms. Woo, hello. As Terry Pratchett says, here we are in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world, surrounded by vast, pulsing, mysterious darkness. Whoa, okay. So here we are, and radio really speaks to that. So I am encouraging you all of us, really, to pledge today, now, right, on behalf of all that you love, 1-800-439-5732. Any amount is completely welcome. Make it magic. Add a dedication. You know, by the power of donating this amount of money, may it be that whatever, you know, lovely phone people, lovely phone team, lovely board ops, lovely backstage crew. This is a team, and we're even more a team. KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. So we're offering for a $100 pledge or $10 a month this really fantastic book, The Harder They Come. It's one of my favorite novels in all the world because it does what a novel should do and what all art should do. It takes you inside and bestows gifts, again, of transcendence of hardship and heroism through beauty. And all of that. And so, and also, you know, pledge that we can have Barbara Maqueda back on again when the phone lines are a smidge clearer. Maybe one of us not down the road in Jamaica. We'll see. We'll work it out. But again, 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. We have 3 minutes. Let's show the world and everybody that, even though I couldn't resist playing that 6-minute clip because it's so crucial that we can still, you know, be grown-ups and raise money here. Because we all know that what we're in right now, it is coming. And we want to use all of our skills, our language, our education, our deep-delving detective work, plus with a gentle heart, right, to be sizzly and investigative, but with a gentle heart. So the novel, The Harder They Come, really supports that. You can have it for a $100 pledge or $10 a month by calling 1-800-439-5732 or donating online at kpfa.org. And yeah, I think Barbara's getting in touch with me. She's willing to be the Coyote Network News Jamaica bureau chief. And there's the ocean in back of me, there's the sun in back. Everybody make sure to see the moon Venus conjunction right on top of Pacifica's sun tonight after sunset. It's so glorious. And remember that, you know, Pacifica is humming. It is humming. Humans come and go. Pacifica herself is an egregor, a thought form that we are feeding. And she loves to be fed with the waters of life, also known as money, and money redeemed by pledging to something that you love that does good for the whole hood, right? By calling 1-800-439-5732. Again, thanks so much to Anonymous in San Mateo. And also, let's see if we can make that pledge. There we go. That would be really thrilling. So this is the last pledge Visionary Activist Show of this season, the last pledge drive of this season for the Visionary Activist Show. So it would be adorable and witty. Oh, there we go. Adorable and witty. Keep calling 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. KPFA.org. Pledge for the beauty of Jamaica. Pledge for the ancestor of Bob Marley. Pledge for all the reggae people coming up. And for Barbara Maqueda and her beautiful work, and pledge for Michael Thelwell and The Harder They Come. I'm Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com. We will reconvene next week. Woof, woof.